Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andrew Piché. Andy, how are we doing this week?
Great, Jimmy. How are you? Off season. Hey, did you see some of the video and stuff of the progress they're making on the stadium renovations? Have you seen that?
Yes.
I'm sure you have. I saw some of it. Looks pretty good. Like, they're making some serious progress.
Well, remember, opening day is not that far away when you're talking about construction. What I'm going to be curious, Andy, with it is, how are they going to – they're not going to be finished this season.
Correct.
So what is it going to look like in that temporary mode this season?
Yeah, that's what you get to find out. But in terms of where they were and where they want to go and what they've done in, what, 3 months? Pretty darn impressive.
Well, just remember this, Andy, though. So far, it's been deconstruction, okay? That's a little quicker and easier than construction.
That's true. That's true. The teardown's always be easier than the build back up. But yeah. I just wanted to bring that up because it just struck me. It was Penn State football stuff, and I was like, oh, man, that stadium. Anyway, let's keep going. We have a lot to talk about, and we don't want to get off topic and go down a rabbit hole and have our poor listeners going, what are those two knuckleheads talking about?
Well, they're going to say that no matter what, Andy. But just one last note on deconstruction. Perhaps one of my favorite things in the world is seeing when they take a building down.
Like the implosion.
Yes.
Yeah.
And especially when they do it in a crowded city and they're able to make the building go straight down so and it inside, doesn't hit anything. And of course, there was the video when they took the press box down.
It was beautiful.
Again, it's, that stadium's just like an Erector set. You'd knock out the legs and take it down. But, of course, they made sure it went away from the stadium and not towards it. So that's, I always love that. That is cool stuff.
Cool stuff.
All right. Now let's move on. Let's get to where we were scheduled to be, Andy. And I was ready to call this our annual event because I'm assuming we've done this every year the off season before we hit the spring practice in the game. We do the look ahead at the roster and depth chart. And I thought we would do that this week and next week. We'll start this week on the offensive side of the ball and then work our way over to the defense. And what I want to do is get from you, Andy, your take on where the team sits at the position. Not just, hey, here's the starter, but what does the depth look like? Even what does the future look like? And again, you can't assume the future anymore with this transfer portal, but let's do it anyway. And let's start with the obvious place, which is the quarterback position, Andy. And
of course,
it's as secure can be. You got a third year starter in Drew Aller. Remember a few years back, he came in as a 5-star, perhaps the best quarterback prospect in the country. That's your starter, Andy.
In some ways, Penn State, this is a bonus year for Drew Aller. You really, when he came to Penn State, did you really expect him to be there this year?
No.
No, right. So that's, you have to look at it a little bit that way. Did he get better from year one to year two? Andy Kotelnicki, O'Brien as the quarterback's coach. Yes. I mean, it basically was the same number of attempts, basically the same number of completions as his freshman year. Very similar in terms of attempts and completions. So, what they asked of him production-wise was kind of the same. More yards, better completion percentage, 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That's still a great ratio. He didn't have much help in terms of talent and production at the wide receiver position, right? Like, that's just a given. And his big game performance, it was less egregious than in year one. That's the only way I could kind of put it. But it still didn't match everything else that he did. Like, you watch Drew game to game and you think, that kid can spin it. That he's seeing things, he can read a defense. That kid's got a lot cooking. And then you watch him in the big games and you're like, you know, what the heck is going, you know, it's just a little bit different on those bigger stages. And that's his final level of development. The big difference this year, he still entrenches a number one. It's no different than going into the 2024 season. He was a number one. Penn State fans, I know you were more confident with Bo Prabula. I almost said Trace McSorley. And did you catch that? I caught myself.
We did.
It's a number. That number sticks in my mind. With Bo Prabula as your number two, right? Like, we were making arguments a year ago. He's got to be more integrated in this offense. I think Andy will. It was. He's gone. That's a big hit in terms of this quarterback room at Penn State. Your number two, three, Ethan Gronkmeyer, Smolicks. Those are your two and three guys. Recruits, like them. Not much known about them. One of them's going to have to, you know, one of them will be your number two quarterback. You're not going to know much. If Drew Aller goes down, you don't know. Right. There's a lot to learn if Drew Aller isn't the starting quarterback for Penn State in a football game in 2025. There will be a lot to learn at the quarterback position. So when we talked about this, I said, let's give it a number 1 to 5 in terms of confidence level and in the overall position. Right. Like, including what you have, what is known, who's back, who's the depth. What, you know, what does it look like behind the top guys or top guy in this case? So I gave the quarterback position, Jimmy, a 3.5.
Wow. Gave,
yeah, I think that might be a little high. Because if it had been last year, it'd have been a 4 or maybe even a 4.5 with Bo. And I was certain Drew Aller were going to take step forwards. There still are steps for him to take forward. There's a little less behind him, but 3.5. That's like, that's my number.
I don't think
it's a tricky one.
It is. And I don't understand. Well, I kind of do. I know why you're saying it, but I don't agree with the less confidence or the lower confidence level this year compared to a year ago. I understand having more confidence in the backup a year ago. But with that said, I think Drew Aller has shown an ability to improve his game, to get better.
Yep.
And he's shown it every year there. And I expect to see even more improvement. The other part to this is, you know, the question of the backup. What Drew Aller has also shown is reliability.
Durability. Yeah.
He comes out there every game and plays. And so I think part of that is just, this is a big kid, Andy, a big, strong kid. He's not brittle. Okay. It'll take a lot to knock him out of a game. So I have, you know, more confidence in him there than you do. Now, would I be scared of an injury to him much more than I was a year ago? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something, you know, based on the depth and the Bo Prabula question. I've had people, you know, our listeners, people send notes. I've seen it in forums who they were ready to move on from the Drew Aller era and get ready for Bo Prabula.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I get that. That's childish impatience as a football fan. I'm sorry. I'm just going to call him out. That's childish impatience as a football fan. And I understand it, but it's not based in reality. Drew Aller is clearly the better quarterback. You should be happy and grateful that you have this much talent and this much ability and arm talent to throw the ball. I get it, because I forget which game it was where Drew Aller had to leave at halftime and he had to be on
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Wisconsin.
And Bo Prabula played the second half and you were like, yeah, okay. Like, what'd you expect? The kid's good, right? He can play. But over the course of 12 games, is he as good as Drew Aller? Never. Never. Even on his best day and Drew's worst. Over 12 games, I still don't think he's better. But I understand that they were ready to move on from him. Be careful what you wish for. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. And be glad you have him back.
The only thing, the advantage to Bo Probola, obviously, is his mobility. But what I do wonder, style-wise, having that dual threat kind of quarterback, if that fits a little better into what James Franklin really wants. With that said, I still believe Drew Aller's the better quarterback. And
willing runner, too. Willing runner. That's a big part of one of his big steps forward in 2024 was willing and productive runner. That's a good combo.
And to me, I think the key to his running was his decision-making was quicker.
Yep.
You could watch him in the 23 season as a fan and say, take off. There's an opening. Go. Lead the run. And you almost saw the wheels turning like, wait a minute, should I run here? Okay, yeah, I think I will. But there was that hesitation where this past season, he just seemed so much more decisive and quicker to take off when he should. Last question on this, Andy. Without Bo Probola in there for the Bo Probola package, how much do you think they'll miss that?
Oh, yeah, okay, Jimmy, I'm going to hand you a respect. That's a good question. You don't always deserve my respect, but you're going to get it today. That's a good question. So I think Andy had fun with it. I think it was a fun addition for Andy Kotelnicki to put that sort of use his kid for what he is and make it part of this offense. And I think it worked well. I don't think they'll miss it. I think Andy will find a way to make it a seamless, like you won't notice it, that it's not there. Because it was just a sort of an added bonus. They don't need it. It was a bonus that they had it. So I don't think they need it as an offense. That's my
answer. I don't either, Andy, but I have one more thought on it. We're going to close up the segment, and I'm going to make the point when we come back. That's become my habit, Andy. Stick with us.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. It's quarter number two of our show. We are doing our position-by-position analysis. And as we always do, Andy, we take way too long on the first one, which was quarterback, and I can't let it go. I have to make one last point. We're talking about, I asked you the question, will they miss the Bo Probola package? And I think you're right. You said it was, I think, more a luxury than a necessity kind of deal. But what I would like to see, and I've harped on this forever with Drew Aller, perhaps because there is no Bo Probola or Bo Probola package, we will see when they run a read option play where Drew Aller will actually keep the ball and run just enough that the defense has to respect that he might do that. Now, Andy, the argument I always get when I make that statement is, why in the world would you want Drew Aller to run the ball when you could have Catron Allen or Nick Singleton running the ball? Valid point, but I'm going to use that as our way to segue to our next position, which is running back. And Andy, I'm just going to, how do you do anything but give this running back room with Allen and Singleton coming back an A plus?
Yeah, they're both, look, both these studs are back. Like, after the loss of Notre Dame in the college football playoff, if you're a Penn State fan, you would have taken one of them, and that would have been the bonus. You get both of them, you get a pair of 1,000-yard rushers a year ago, and who in their unique own way, each of them in their own unique way, has NFL-level talent. And I think, as surprising as year number one in terms of the sort of cannonball splash that they made, as you know what I'm saying when we say cannonball off the high dive, that kind of splash that this duo made when they were freshmen, I think it's equally as surprising and as big of a splash that this duo was back at Penn State for another crack. I really do. I do think they have a couple of highly recruited and talented running backs in the back end of the stable. And, you know, Corey Martin and Quentin Martin Jr., a couple of redshirt freshmen. I think they're outstanding. You know exactly what you have at running back. You know exactly what you have behind them. This position for me right now, 4.5, Jimmy.
What would it take to be a 5, Andy?
Well, ask me another position. I might give it to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a little bit of a tease there.
So this is about the only question would be, I think we've never seen these two broken up per se. Yeah, they've missed a game here and, you know, 7, 8, 9 quarters there. But really, you haven't seen this duo have to go long term with one not available and only one available. That's my 4.5 line, Jimmy. We've never seen them where one's had to carry the mustard because the other one's not available for a long term, whether that be a season, 6 games, 7 games, done for the year, played a quarter of the year, whatever. That's the only one. That's it. Otherwise, this position's a stud.
Andy, and what makes me even more excited about it is not just their full body of work over the last couple of years, but also how well they were playing at the end of the season. Both healthy, both so running, as well as we've seen them since they got here. And there was some folks were, after their sophomore seasons, oh, was it a sophomore slump? They weren't as explosive. We didn't see those big runs from Nick Singleton. But I thought at the end of the season, and remember, the end of the season is when they were going in, they played Oregon in the conference championship game. I know a lot of people don't want to respect SMU and Boise State, but they were both, you know, highly ranked teams.
Good defense. Had
successful seasons, and those two guys ran wild, still played well also in the loss to Notre Dame.
They shredded Notre Dame. Shredded them.
This was, I'd give them a 5. And I think the only question is, you know, the depth beyond those two. And I think it's just the fact that those two have been so good, so reliable, so consistent. We haven't seen, you know, Cam Wallace, Corey Smith, Quentin Martin. Well, you know, maybe this year. I really hope that in those, the non-conference schedule we've talked about, it, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
It's embarrassing.
Yes. I want to see those young running backs get a lot of play in those games. So anyway, I think exceptional. And Andy, now watch this segue here. At the end of the season, those running backs were playing so well. I'm excited about that. But the other part to that is, Andy, if you have these running backs playing so well, it's the offensive line. You see what I did there, Andy?
I saw your segue. I got you, Jimmy. So
the nice thing is, I was just going to say, this offensive line is pretty much intact from last season, that group that was playing so well at the end of last year.
Don't underestimate the value of Nick Dawkins coming back and choosing another year at Penn State as their center over taking his shot at the NFL. Very, very important. This offensive line basically lost Sal Wormley to the NFL. Look, looking back, Penn State fans, how good and consistent was that guy? Anyway, that's just me digressing. So other than Sal, you basically have what I consider six offensive linemen who are starters. And that doesn't include that. That six does not include the guy who we all know will be the starting right guard. That would be the second year sensation slash freak Cooper Cousins. That six that I'm giving you does not include him. The six are, it's Shelton, Owane, the aforementioned Dawkins, Nolan Rucci, Anthony Duncan, JB Nelson. Those are all offensive linemen who are starters or who did start and make serious contributions in 2024. In my mind, with what is known, and I'd add Javon Williams in there, who I believe is making a depth move inside to take a crack at guard, but he's been a backup tackle so he can play. I would add him as known to the mix. You put Cooper Cousins in there, because in the first year, the coaching staff talked about it. The guys he went up against in practice talked about it. Like, this guy's a freak, and he should be playing, and he will be playing sooner than later. Yeah, sooner than later is now. That's eight. I think Penn State comfortably, I can say that Penn State has eight starters in their offensive line depth chart at their disposal at any given time. That's eight known entities up front. That's a 5.0, Jimmy. There it is. There's your 5.0. Eight.
It did take us long to get there. And Andy, I'm in complete agreement with you. And again, I'll talk about how this group was playing at the end of last year.
Stupid good.
But the other part to this was you could argue last year that Anthony Donka was as good a player as they had on the offensive line.
Amen. Okay? Yeah, no, he was spectacular before he got hurt.
And that's and I'm not saying it's because he was out, okay? But I'm just saying that is when the team really, that group really put it together, was at the end when they did not even have arguably their best lineman out there on the field. So again, it's like we're actually going to have an argument over right tackle. You want Donka or do you want Rucci, Andy?
I don't care. Pick one. Whoever the coaching staff picks, that's the one who wins. You can't lose either way. This offensive line, no matter whether it's Rucci or Donka right tackle, or who's, they have synergy, Jimmy. They have belief. They think they're better than you. They now know they're better than you. They know they can perform better than almost anybody. And they have both those running backs that motivate them to block for, and the quarterback. That's a 5.0, Jimmy. They are the hammer. They are the driving force of this offense. You could talk about the quarterback. We'll get to the other catching the ball positions, where some work will need to be done and some stuff will need to show up to make it better. But for me, it starts and ends with this group because it's elite. It's arguably the best offensive line in the country. I think you could go that far. It's definitely the best offensive line going into 2025 in the Big Ten, without a doubt. There is no doubt. That's not even an argument. Don't bring that argument to my table. I'll just hit my judge gavel and say, case dismissed. In terms of the country, we could look around and talk about it. I have. I think it's two or three. It could be number one, but I think there's a couple others. But that is where they're at, and that is what is going to drive this train. And they are going to drive this train strong. They're so good and so deep.
And Andy, the great thing about having a great offensive line is that helps your passing game. It helps your running game. And I think it's also more of a given than the other positions. You know, even a really good quarterback could have that whole day, you know.
Right.
The other positions, I think, are more affected if with a bad weather day, those kind of things. Offensive line play, I think, is consistent week to week. Now, the other part to this, Andy, in liking the depth that they have is – one of the weapons that I absolutely loved last year from Andy Kotelnicki is when he used Vega Ioane in motion to just crush somebody. Okay.
How much did network commentators love that? It didn't matter what network Penn State was on. They were all like, they were drooling goo goo gaga over it. But yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
There's not an offensive lineman in the country who would like to have that running start
in
before they hit someone who's smaller than them. But the reason why they were able to do that is, remember, they were able to replace him on, you know, with a fifth lineman to take his position while he could be the sixth lineman.
So
with
good.
This depth, that's not an issue at all this year either, Andy. We are going to see more of that.
Yes, we are. You are going to see a lot more of it. They were against what I consider Notre Dame was the weakest of the playoff team they played. They pushed Notre Dame around like a blocking dummy. SMU and Boise State's strength was in their front seven, and Penn State's offensive line opened up a can of whoop you know what on them. Wasn't even close.
That's exactly it, Andy. And I'm being repetitive about emphasizing how they played at the end of the year against good competition.
Eight
but,
of them.
But that was important. And I think that's what you build on. That's what you start this season with. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter two. Quarter three coming up. Your questions, we ask Andy. Stay tuned for that.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesdays, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter three of our show. That means it's time for your questions, and we ask Andy. If you want to submit a question to Andy, just download our app, Keystone Sports. You see the Ask Andy button, and away we go. All right, Andy. How about we start with Matt in Massachusetts, who says, Jim and Andy. Again, Andy, whenever they include me in the question, I'm happy.
Yeah, it's so, not your segment. It's called Ask Andy.
That's right. He says, Jim and Andy, in your opinion, and then in brackets he has, and don't hold back, how well will Bill Belichick do at North Carolina?
Oh, Matt, that's a haymaker.
Right out of the gates, Andy.
Yeah. Here's the thing, right? Like, here's my answer. I have no freaking clue. Like, I know he's a good football coach, right? Like, he's legendary good. However, his last, say, 18 to 24 months at the New England Patriots as a professional National Football League coach was not reflective of his previous 25 years as a football coach in the NFL. It just, there was a dip. I hesitate because I'm like, if college game is different, he's surrounding himself with some good people. That will matter. Will it be successful? I don't know. The last part of it, I just want to bring this in, was despite the, you know, sort of his grumpy old man get off my lawn syndrome that you were always sure Bill Belichick was and is, didn't he kind of fit, didn't sort of the way the roles that they found him to fit in the media during this season away from football, it was pretty darn good. I'm like, Belichick, get you some. You know, he was on Peyton Manning's, you know, on that Manning cast thing. He was on shows. He was on podcasts. And he was just blunt, obvious, kind of still the grumpy old man, but he made you want to listen. And what he had to say was relevant, and I was like, damn, he's good at this. I want more of this. I don't. That's why I'm hesitant to say I don't know, because I don't know if he could be as good of a college coach as he did was as a sort of media personality in his 1 year. I don't know. So I'm not saying what do I think? It's because I really don't know. If I had to, Matt, if I had to say, I'd say it's going to be not what North Carolina wants or expects. That's my short answer in a roundabout way. But I liked him as a media guy. I wish he was coming back. I really do.
Andy, my first instinct was bad idea. You know, yeah. the
first instinct.
The NFL game and college game are two different games. The college game itself is a different game than it was just 4 or 5 years ago. Okay. Yeah. And he has obvious X's and O's talent. You expressed it well, how he was in the media was a lot of fun. You know, there's the question of how at his age will he relate to these young people.
Right, right. That's a given.
By the way, fill in your own joke here with the young girlfriend, Andy, relating to young people. But I'm wondering, I've been surprised so far. It's been so far so good. It looks like he's had the energy, done some of the things. But, you know, those of us who are old enough to remember the end of Joe Paterno's era at Penn State, and this is a guy who had coached college football for years and years, it wasn't the same as when he was a younger man. And I wonder if he'll have the energy to keep this up. You know, we talk about some of the schedules. These college coaches are never off. No, I mean, it's a 24/7 kind of job. It's a nonstop, the calls, the nonstop, the alums, the raising money, that just you're constantly, you have to re-recruit your team because of the portal. Andy, just so much that goes on. I'm not sure how that will work out. I'm not confident. Let's put it that way. Okay, let's go to Mark in Arlington. He says, what differences are you expecting from Andy Kotelnicki in his second year on the job?
Oh man, good off season.
I like that question.
Yeah, no, good question. I expect what I think he'll want to do. This is I'm contemplating. I think he wants to stretch the field more with Drew Aller's arm. That's going to be my short answer. I think he's hoping, and we'll get to it in quarter four because we're going to talk about receivers in the depth chart. I think he wants to stretch this field more. I think he wants to create the ability for more room in both, you know, as a running team and as a short passing game team to use the running backs more to create more space for them. So I think he would like, Drew Aller's got the arm talent to stretch the field with this offense. He hasn't had the other end of it to help him. I think in an ideal world, what would he like in an ideal world? I think he would like to stretch this passing game down the field in this offense.
I think I agree with that. And I also think Andy, first off, his toys are gone. Bo Prabula package gone. Tyler Warren and the Tyler Warren packages,
whatever,
gone.
The Tyler Warren passing game package, you mean? What's Penn State's passing offense? The Tyler Warren package. Gone, yes.
Well, but I'm also, I mean, the
I know.
Tyler Warren taking snaps.
Quarterback.
Tyler Warren running the ball.
Lining up here.
Tyler Warren snapping the ball and then catching the correct ball.
That doesn't mean he won't still do that stuff. He's still going to find... He still likes that sort of mad scientist gimmick motion gadget. He does a lot. He puts a lot of eye candy around it, but the basics, the bones are still the same. I still think you're going to see some of that.
Well, I think what he does is, you know, Tyler Warren was just a tremendous tool, the Swiss Army knife to use. So he took advantage of it.
Good
this
term.
Year, I think he's going to look and say, I've got an incredible offensive line. I got a veteran quarterback, and I've got two tremendous running backs. How do I take advantage of that? So stretch are we going to see more two back sets?
Maybe,
because,
yeah.
You know, we've got, those are two very good players. They're two, you know, I often
gotta use
the word weapon on offense a lot. And you've got two weapons at running back, and get them both in the game as much as possible. So if it's maybe Nick Singleton lined up as a receiver while Catron Allen's in the backfield, you got, okay, now, I've got a mismatch, a linebacker covering Singleton. I still have to worry about Catron Allen. There's a lot going on there. So
those two will demand that this offense be built around them.
Yes.
They will demand that. That's it.
Okay. Let's stay down in Virginia way. Tom from Fairfax says, who do you have as your early surprise breakout candidate for the 25 season?
Wow. Okay, so let's not have dead air while we contemplate this, Jimmy. That's three really good questions we've got. I'm just going to go with what the first name that popped in my head, and that was Luke Reynolds. Luke Reynolds.
That's excellent one.
That just popped in my head. That was the first name that popped in my head.
I think that's a good call. Hard for me to debate that. What I'm wondering is every year we wait on a wide receiver.
I'm not wasting my time on that.
Mike Tizer, Denmark, be that guy, Andy.
I'm not. That's just, and I'm thinking, let's give, both sides of the ball. Is it the one that came on the defensive side of the ball? Tamir Robinson, linebacker. That's if we want to go there and provide equal
good,
balance.
Good call. How about King Mack, the prodigal son coming back?
Help me understand that. That'll be another off-season conversation we have.
Well, maybe next week when we talk about the defense of
Depth. Oh, yeah, we'll bring that up. Yeah, that'll be a good one. All right, we got time for another one?
Yes. Let's see Sam and Yardley. And Andy, you'll be happy. He directs it to you. He says, how do or die is this season for James Franklin? I know he's not going to lose his job, but what must he do to stay in Andy Shea's good graces?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. He's not going to lose his job. So obviously with Penn State becoming that sort of off-season team, right? Like they're all in. They're the all-in team for 2025. It's generally regarded, it's national, it's a nationwide thing that, you know who's all in this year? It's Penn State. Man, look at what Penn State's doing. Penn State's all in. It's Penn State, Penn State, Penn State. The athletic department's commitment, that's Pat Kraft, by the way. The athletics department's commitment to that is clear and true, right? Like it's at a level that has never been before. So for me, it's a pretty easy. It's step one. Win the Big Ten championship. That's it. That's how James Franklin has to take the roster that he's assembled and the sort of backing that he's received and bring it to fruition for Penn State. Win the Big Ten championship.
Andy, I'm going to look at it a little different. He made it to the playoff semifinals last year, won two playoff games. But yep. There are people who would just say, doesn't matter. Every big name he played, Ohio State regular season, Oregon conference championship game, Notre Dame college football semifinals, he lost. He needs to beat a big name team. He'll have two shots at it in the regular season. He'll have Oregon early, and he'll have Ohio State later. Ohio State at Ohio State in Columbus will be tougher. Oregon at home, boy.
I like them.
It doesn't matter so much to Oregon that game because they went undefeated last year, and the fans say, so what? We didn't advance in the playoffs. So I'm not saying Oregon doesn't care about that game. but it means so much more to Penn State. All right, that is it, Andy, for quarter number three. We still got one more segment to go. Stick with us.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four of our show. We're talking Penn State football. Today, Andy. Segment one and two, we started going over position by position our evaluation for the 2025 season. Of course, quarter number three was Ask Andy. Good questions this week, Andy.
Kudos. Yeah, really good.
Kudos to the listeners. So now we need to wrap up our positional review, or preview, I should say, going into the 2025 season. And Andy, we haven't talked about those guys who catch the ball, tight ends, wide receivers. Which one you want to go first with?
Do not care. Pick one.
Let's do tight ends first.
All right. So
that'll give you, you can finish the segment talking wide receivers. But
yeah, it's better than starting with them. But anyway.
Kyle Warren, really began and ended with him. I know they have had depth at tight end. Tyler Warren moving on. What are we going to see this coming year, Andy?
Yeah, I liked your term that you used last quarter, the Swiss Army knife, that Andy Kotelnicki dangled in front of opponent after opponent after opponent. That's gone. And to me, I mean, you still have two known entities, right? I think Khalil Dinkins and Luke Reynolds. With Tyler Warren, you know, playing every game and healthy and being out there all the time, those two still had 23 catches, combined three touchdowns and averaged nearly 10 yards a catch. That's better than most of the wide receivers did, right? As sort of consider them backups in the passing game. Everybody was a backup to Tyler Warren. I think the two tight ends, you know, did it better than most. I'm going to give you your moment, Jimmy. Go ahead. Bring up your guy.
Andrew Lafayette.
There you go. That's Jimmy's guy. I'm never going to bring it. When you're talking about him, I got who I think are the two, but I'm always going to give you the second to bring up your guy. He's in there. You love that guy. I think depth-wise, they're very strong, right? Friday, I think you kind of know what you have as well, right? I think you know what you have in what I consider the two front runners. Tyler Warren's not there. Realistic expectations, ladies and gentlemen. Let's remember that. Realistic expectations. Will it look like it did last year? God, no. Heck no. And if it does, happy accident, right? Like, woohoo, it won't. It will not. It's impossible. That guy's a freak. You have passionate fans to the expert. To the casual fan, are all like, what is 44 who played for Penn State? What the heck is that? All of them say the same thing. I'd still say at the tight end position of our scale of 1 to 5, I still say they're 4.0, Jimmy. I still say they're a 4.0 out of 5 because I think in the shadow of that of 44, I still think you got to see something that was still pretty darn good and has the potential to be something special. And I think they've got options. That matters. 4.0 at the tight ends for me.
Andy, you know, I have often said on this show, I love the tight end position at Penn State, probably more than I love any other position.
You do.
Because they have a past, a present, and a future, okay? You know, the past, Gesicki and Freiermuth and Theo Johnson and Tyler Warren. It's just
Brenton Strange. Don't forget that guy.
Yes, Brenton Strange. Good one. It just every year. And you always have
a decade's worth of excellence.
two guys ready to roll when that first guy moves on.
Yep.
And we have it here again, Tyler Warren moving on. We've had Khalil Dinkins with who probably gets overlooked a lot, Andy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
With a lot of experience. Luke Reynolds, who just came in as a freshman and played.
Scratch the surface.
Exactly. And as you mentioned, my guy, Rapoport,
your guy,
who didn't, you know, and then
that hurt.
I wonder if a guy like, you know, it's a name that he may never really get on, but Joey Schlaffer, remember, former high school quarterback, Andy. So there, you know, and also remember there's Andrew Olish, the true freshman coming in, who
he's the next.
If all goes, you're right. If all goes to plan, he's not going to see the field, Andy. He's next.
He's the next guy.
Yeah. So, but remember, Luke Reynolds last year was supposed to be the next guy.
Yeah, well, he was forced to play.
Right. So you still have that depth, and you still have, I'll keep saying it, Andy, you had the past, you have a present, and you have a great future.
Luke Reynolds left Penn State's coaching staff no choice but to put him on the football field. That's how you go from next to being part of the equation. It wasn't an injury. It wasn't that the position wasn't productive. Hello, that's not the case at all. It's just we have no choice but to get this guy out on the field.
And Andy, the other thing, we probably all best remember Luke Reynolds from the fake punt.
The fake punt, yeah, that's just one part of it.
And it's a memorable play, but what I think is more important than that specific play and what he did on that play, Andy, is this thought. The coaching staff with the game on the line, that was their biggest call of the season. Okay?
They chose him.
And they chose him.
Yep.
What message does that give you, Andy?
He left them no choice but to put him on the football field and play, despite what Tyler Warren was doing. And Khalil, underrated, undervalued maybe a little bit. Okay, Khalil, yeah, you're doing just fine. This kid has to be out there too. It's almost like you stuff another, you know, some more meat in the sausage casing. Well, there's nothing else going to go in there. I don't care. This has to go in. It's too good.
Put it in.
He had to be in there. Yeah. He has to play.
Exactly. All right, Andy, let's, we have to eventually get to it.
We're there.
Everyone who was anyone in the wide receiver room has moved on. Omari Evans is gone. Trey Wallace is gone. Julian Fleming, the big transfer portal from a year ago, gone.
Graduated. Out of eligibility.
Two transfer portal players, Devontae Ross from Troy, Kyron Hudson from USC.
Yep.
And Andy, you know, I keep getting pictures of that incredible catch that Kyron Hudson had first game of the season. Google it. Incredible catch. He looked like he was an all-world receiver, Andy. His stats the rest of the season do not reflect all-world status.
Yeah.
Give me your take on that group.
So, yeah, it's Kyron from USC, once a YouTube moment, but solid numbers, but nothing spectacular, didn't happen. What's different at Penn State for him? That's the question. And what does he bring to the table in this offense for Drew Aller? There's your question. Devontae Ross, production, Troy, right? Like, not the next level, not this level, but kind of that. A speedy, smaller guy, outside receiver. Think Devontae Smith of the Philadelphia, Smith of the Eagles. Kind of in that mold is what his production was like at Troy, right? Could beat you deep, but also could catch anything under the sun. Is he ready for this level? How does it translate? I don't know. You still got Liam Clifford kind of in the slot. He's a known entity. After that, you got guys like Tysier Denmark, Anthony Ian, Caden Saunders, whatever happened to that guy? It just hadn't happened for him, right? Like, can it happen for him? Because he came in as a talented group. This will be, again, Jimmy, it'll be a full room. A full room of what? I don't really know. for me, when I think of the black hole that is the wide receiver position at Penn State, they're kind of, to me, they're like a Salisbury steak, right? You kind of know what's in a Salisbury steak, but when you get it at a restaurant, it's always a little bit different. Everyone's a little bit different. You're kind of like, what's in there? I don't really know what's in there. So I think I call it mystery meat. It's like the, what do you call Salisbury steak? Mystery meat. It's mystery meat. I don't know what the wide receiver position is going to be. It's a mystery meat. They need more production. We know that. But the end product, I have no idea. So they're 1.0 for me, Jimmy. It's just, they're a black hole, and they haven't been developing. They haven't been productive. On the biggest stage in the college football semifinal, they didn't get a single target in the flow of the football game for a reason. And do two transfers change that? I don't know. I'm willing. I can't wait to see them play. I'm looking forward to it, to see what they bring to the next level. But at the end of the day, this is Penn State's black hole. And it's up. There's a coaching responsibility, but there's a player production responsibility that I think continues to move itself along a little bit. And can the quarterback become more confident in his wide receivers? Because we know what he can do when he's confident in a position or in individuals that he's throwing the ball to.
All right. As far as mystery meat goes, as wide receivers, better Salisbury steak or Spam?
A Spam, but I need hot sauce.
Okay. All right. Real quick, in the minute or two we have left, Andy, we went position by position. How about the offensive coaching staff with Andy Kotelnicki as coordinator?
Yeah, he's going to build this offense around. He's got some salt and pepper to work with, right, in terms of seasoning. But the running backs are college football elite. That's you gotta know where your bread's buttered. The quarterbacks got better, getting better, can be better, has another level, but you know you're. The bread's going to be buttered by these running backs. The tight end position, the tight end's going to take a step back, even though we give it a 4.0. That's just, it has no other choice, Jimmy. Like, Tyler Warren was that much of a freak, but I don't think it hurts this offense. We talked about Salisbury steak and Spam. Wide receivers are your mystery meat. Ty Howe, tight ends coach, ridiculously good. Phil Troutwine's been good. Danny O'Brien, first year as a quarterback coach after being that. I think there was a piece of production that you could see, new running back coach on the fence now, no J1 Sider. He's got a little bit of talent to work with in that room. He coached at Ohio State. So before he was Temple's head coach, he was a running back coach at Ohio State, Stan Drayton. He's your new running back coach. Experience is not up for debate, I don't think, but Marcus Higgins is your wide receiver coach. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, Andy, you know what, we're wrapping up. Obviously you're hungry because you went bread and butter, salt and pepper, Salisbury steak in this last segment. Must mean you're hungry, so I'm gonna let you go eat. That's it for the show. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and Cafe Tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.